Hello, welcome to today's podcast at the 26th of November. My name is Livia and I'm here with Edu and Zach. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good.
Very good, thanks Livia.
So Edu and me are from ACED and we invited Zach for today's podcast. ACED is a grassroots organization located in Amsterdam. We are fighting for social and climate justice. For many years, we have been involved with direct actions and more recently with Free the Soil in the north of Germany, Behoud Lutgemeer here in Amsterdam, and Ende Gelände as well in Germany. And during all these actions, the question whether using violence or not is justifiable came up again and again. So therefore, we would like to educate ourselves based on historical examples in today's podcast.
Thanks, Livia. Thanks a lot for the introduction. And before starting, we would like to clarify that rather than this podcast being an opinion podcast, what we're trying to achieve is sharing knowledge and getting inspired. And that's why we choose Albert Camus and Frantz Fanon to decide to discuss about violence and nonviolence. When I said we, it's because we had some previous meetings together with the rest of the AC team and Zach. And that leads me to the first question, which is why did we choose Camus and Fanon when it comes to discuss about violence versus nonviolence?
Okay, thank you, Edu and Livia. I would also like to thank ACED for inviting me for their first podcast. So there are definitely some very bold examples that we could mention regarding to the issue of violence and nonviolence. We could mention Martin Luther King and Gandhi for choosing non-violence way of social struggle. And on the other hand, Malcolm X and the Black Panthers for choosing a more militant path towards social emancipation. So the reason why we choose these two philosophers is because they dealt with the issue of colonialism from the perspective of the periphery. Yeah, and specifically speaking, they were both involved in the Algerian independence movement, which took place between 1954 and 1962. And mentioning these two important figures will help us understand other struggles that took part in other places of the world except Europe and the US.
Thank you, Zach, for that interesting answer. Now I'm curious to learn more about their lives. Could you shortly introduce Camus and Fanon's life and how it leads up to their different perspective of violence versus nonviolence?
Yes. So Camus was born in 1913 to a poor French family in Algeria. he grew up in Mondovi and Belcourt, two working class neighborhoods of Algiers. That means that he witnessed the poverty of the Algerians, but also of the French firsthand. Two very important incidents regarding violence occur in his life very early. The first encounter with the issue of violence comes to him through a story told to him by his mother about an experience his father had when he went to witness an execution. So, although the father went with the conviction that the person who was to be executed deserved his fate, the witnessing of the execution leaves him dazed and physically ill. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the second experience is the death of his father in the Battle of the Marne in the First World War. And this loss, I mean the loss of his father, coupled with the anecdote told by his mother, infused within Albert a very deep hatred of warfare and capital punishment. When we say capital punishment for Albert Camus, it's what he later calls institutionalized violence. Violence coming from the state, let's say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great, Zach. Could you now introduce shortly also the story about Frantz Fanon, please?
So, Frantz Fanon was born in 1925 in the island of Martinique, which then was a French colony. It was a French colony since the 17th century. So, Fanon grew up with the belief of being a Frenchman. Okay, this is very important. And that was a result of the brainwashings students used to go through when they were sent to the famous lycée schools where they were taught the values of French culture. Yeah. So it's not difficult for us to imagine that there were no condemnations of colonial violence whatsoever, and most citizens of the colonies believed that they were an integral part of the French Empire. But things were meant to change drastically for Franz Fanon, because in 1939, a portion of the French Atlantic fleet, led by a Vichy collaborator, makes its appearance in the island of Martinique. So that meant 10,000 white French sailors descend upon the island, increasing the population, the white population of the island, by 500%. Yeah, imagine that.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So that would be the first time when Franz Fanon and the black citizens of the Martinique will experience racism firsthand. Yeah. But even under these circumstances, Fanon decides to join the Maquis. The Maquis were like French resistance guerrilla groups in order to fight for France against Nazi Germany. But this you need to understand that this definitely comes as a shock if one knows what Fanon became later in his life. Yeah, he became a vivid and dedicated anti-colonial fighter against the French Empire. So when asked by one of his philosophy teachers about joining a fight that was not theirs, he replied by saying, "Each time liberty is in question, we are concerned, be white, black, or yellow, and each time freedom is under siege, no matter where, I will engage myself completely." So this is a first indicator of his willingness to fight any form of injustice anywhere in the world, yeah? It seems like if he was blind to the injustice,
Got this. What? One. No.
Okay, so what I was saying is that this is a first indicator of his willingness to fight any form of injustice anywhere in the world, yeah? But it seems like if he was kind of blind to the injustice people were already experiencing under French colonialism, but not for long, yeah? His participation in the Second World War will prove to be a turning point in his ideological development. He witnesses firsthand the everyday humiliation black people had to endure inside the French army.
Cool. Can I ask you something, Zach, before you ended up with a description about Fanon? It's, you were talking that Fanon had joined the Maquis, so he was like in the first line fighting against, in that case, against the German Nazi.
Mm.
Did Albert Camus also had to join any like mandatory military service or something? Because
so,
since he's defending non-violence, I'm just curious if he had to join at some point of his life.
Yeah, that's a good question. Albert Camus really wanted to go to war, in a sense that he was opposed to the Nazis. He was opposed to the occupation of France by the Nazis, but he was refused twice. Because he had a case of tuberculosis, yeah, and he couldn't participate in the army, so he decides to stay back, but join the resistance by writing in a resistance newspaper called Combat, and he was very, very important figure for the newspaper, but for the whole resistance movement back then.
Great, interesting, great. You want to add something else about Franz Fanon?
So there's one thing we could mention.
Sure.
So there's a letter that Franz Fanon sends to his family when he finally realizes that the war was not theirs to fight. So he says, "It's been 1 year since I left for the France. Why? To defend an obsolete ideal. I doubt everything, even myself. If I don't return, if you learn one day of my death at the enemy's hands, console yourself, but never say he died for a noble cause. Say God called him back because this other false ideology, the shield of civilians and imbecilic politicians, should not inspire us any longer."
Great, Zach. Thanks. That was an inspiring sentence for finishing the introduction about Fanon. So the following question, it's about like the two topics that we're discussing, about violence and nonviolence. So basically, as you mentioned before, Camus was definitely defending like nonviolence for achieving certain goals, and Franz Fanon, the opposite, was like, for by definition, saying that we need, for achieving the goals that I have in mind, we need to use violence. So the question is, what are the different points of view or perspective from one philosopher and the other related the using of violence for achieving the goals that they have in mind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So regarding the issue of Algeria, let's say, to start with, and the whole independence process, Camus's standing point was against the use of violence. I mean, especially when it comes to the issue of Algeria, strongly he believed in the coexistence of Algerians and French people living there. And having lived there, he believed that Algeria is an integral part of the French Empire. He couldn't imagine Algeria becoming independent in any way, and especially if that meant cutting any relations with the metropole. So he was against the violence perpetrated by the French colonial authorities, and at the same time against the violence perpetrated by those who were struggling for the independence of Algeria. His idea was for Algeria to stay under French rule, but like for these two people to live harmoniously. So his standing point regarding violence becomes more clear in a series of six articles he published under the title Nor Victims Nor Executioners. So there is where he writes against what he calls institutionalized murder. Camus believed that violence might be used in extreme circumstances. I mean, at the end, he supported the French war efforts against the Nazis, but the use of revolutionary violence to nudge history in the direction you desire, he believed, is utopian, absolutist, and betrayal to oneself. That's what he believed. In a way, we would agree with him in our days, but back then he didn't seem to realize that what he calls as an institutionalized murder was the one coming from the French colonial authorities. And one very important factor of this opposing against violence is the simple and very important fact that his family, he feared that his family might end up being a victim of violence perpetrated by both sides. On the other hand, Fanon, having experienced racism like firsthand in Martinique, as I mentioned earlier, with the 10,000 white sailors that arrived, and experiencing racism again inside the French army, knew that colonial rule is maintained through violence and repression. He strongly emphasizes that colonial rule is the bringer of violence. So Franz Fanon became he was a psychiatrist also. So he was, it's interesting to see, when he was in Algeria, in a city called Blida, he was treating people like from both sides, like he was treating fighters of the FLN, which is the liberation movement for the Algerians, and on the other hand he was also treating French soldiers that were like, so he was treating the victims of torturing and the torturers. So he witnessed the whole power relation that was existing between these two groups of people. So he believed that for the colonial subject, freeing themselves of colonialism through violence can be a cathartic experience. This is a very strong word to use. So in Black Skin, White Masks, Fanon introduces the idea of collective catharsis. Mm-hmm. Collective catharsis he describes it as every society in every collectivity exists or must exist a channel, an outlet through which the forces accumulated in the forms of aggression can be released. So, like, in other words, in order to exterminate the violence that is imposed to you by the colonizer, you should use violence. Yeah, and that's a very strong statement to make. And for Fanon, the physical act of violence perpetrated by the revolutionary reminds them of the humanity that they share with their colonizers. So for the colonized to realize that he is a human being, he needs to use violence against the colonizer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So violence, in a way, is very important for Fanon.
Can I ask you something else, Zach? Because that's more about your opinion, even though we say at the beginning that it's not an opinion podcast. We have space for it. It's more about, from Camus' perspective, since you just described like both points of view.
Mm.
From my point of view, it's kind of selfish and a bit naive saying that, yeah, we can live all together in harmony. But at the same point, he was really aware that under like this regime of colonization, and that there's some people with privilege, other people without. So it's just your opinion. Do you also think that his point of view on his comfort zone, maybe even though he was coming from a poor family,
mm.
it's quite naive, because it's very nice to defend non-violence, but he comes from a completely different perspective than other people. So what do you think about
that? That's a good question. one thing I want to emphasize on is, like, we cannot discuss these two philosophers out of the context of the Algerian independence process. Yeah. So what both of them were saying had to do with that time and that specific struggle that was going on in Algeria. Yeah. So I don't like to say that Camus was naive in any way. He was not. So this is a person who would talk for the poor in Algeria, either Arab or French. Okay. So he would make he would write articles, he would write letters, for example, for the French authorities, to the French authorities, asking so that some fighters will be pardoned, because these fighters were about to be executed by the French authorities. But he in a way didn't want to witness the executions, because he felt like this will intensify the battle that was going on between those two sides. Yeah. So I wouldn't say that he was naive, but he was really afraid of what Algeria would become, you know.
Yeah.
Having lived there and having left his family there, it was not an easy decision for him to support one or the other side. Yeah. So for at some point, even like he stopped being vocal about it. He was not mentioning anything. And when he was asked by some Algerian students why he was not mentioning anything, or why he was not condemning any side, he said that, "I am afraid that I might end up supporting a side that will kill my mother inside a tram or a train in Algeria." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's he was really concerned about his family, but about the whole country. Yeah. And when he was talking about French people, I think it's important to say that he was mostly talking about the lower class French people living in Algeria, because from early, like, in his life, he was opposed to the French authorities in Algeria. Yeah. But at the same time, he didn't believe that 1.5 million French people living in Algeria had to leave Algeria at any moment. Yeah, he believed that they shared this country together, you know.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that was a lot and super interesting. I feel very inspired to read more about these two philosophers now. And maybe before we end the podcast, it would be nice to have a last question about the connection between the thoughts of those philosophers and nowadays struggles, even though I'm aware that you said that these opinions of those two philosophers shouldn't be discussed out of the context, and it's very important to keep it in the context of the Algerian independence movement. Maybe there's still something we can see in today's society as well.
Yeah, so what we discussed today, I believe, is really relevant to the situation that we are living nowadays. Yeah, I think in a way to start with, we would agree with Albert Camus when he talks about institutionalized violence or institutionalized murder, because governments in different areas of the world, facing the anger of their citizens, and in order to repress that anger, or let's say those demonstrations, they are adopting very like authoritarian means, and those means sometimes lead to killings also. Yeah, and you can take what happened in Sudan, for example, in 2018. The Sudanese people went out on the streets to demonstrate because of the rise in the cost of bread, which is a very basic necessity. Military forces stormed the demonstration, killing hundreds of people. But what happened is that the demonstrators were definitely dedicated to continue their struggle, and they managed at the end to overthrow a dictator that was in power for almost 40 years. Yeah, that's a very important thing. And I think it's crucial in our days to somehow manage to globalize our thinking, our perspective, and observe what is going on around the world. Yeah, see what's going on in South America, see what's going on in Asia, Middle East, and Africa. Yeah, there are the cases of Chile, definitely the case of Bolivia, where of Evo Morales was there was a coup against Evo Morales.
Forced to leave.
Hong Kong, Lebanon, Iraq. See what's going on in Iran these previous weeks. So, what is taking place now should definitely remind us of what Frantz Fanon said. What he said is that when we revolt, it's not for a particular culture. We revolt simply because, for many reasons, we can no longer breathe.
Yes, that was a beautiful sentence for ending, Zach. Thanks a lot. So I think that was all for today. Thanks a lot, Zach. I think we learned a lot, not only during this recording of the podcast, but also for the last week we've been preparing with Livia and reading different articles and different stuff about the boss philosophers. So that's such a good learning experience. And thanks again, Zach, for helping and for being here today with us. One last thing we would like to ask you. Could you maybe advise like one book about Camus and one book about Fanon?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy to say one or two books. Yeah, there are many that we could mention.
Your favorites.
There are two for me, like very two like important books are one like by Albert Camus, The Rebel. I think it's important to read that in order to understand Camus's point of view about violence, and The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. Those two books are good to start with, and then you can continue.
And then we can go for another podcast about them. Zach, thanks a lot once more. So thanks all for listening. That was the first podcast we did with ACID. And as a reminder, in the next couple of months, we're going to record a second podcast, and the topic is going to be gender and agriculture, in which we're gonna like discuss and have like some debates about topics such as ecofeminism, the neo-ruralization, and other topics related with agroecology and food sovereignty from the gender perspective. Something else to add, Livia?
No, I think that's all. Just thank you. It was a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoyed it too. Oh yeah, and for sure, check us out on Facebook and our webpage.
Thank you.
Thank you.